This Christmas, let's share the greatest gift ever given, Jesus Christ. Compassion International invites your church to join the Giving Tree Project, helping children in poverty overcome barriers and discover hope in Christ. With the Giving Tree Kit, your congregation can provide life-changing resources like food, clean water, and sustainable income to families in need. Visit compassion.com/familygoals today to order your free church kit and make this Christmas a season of hope and transformation. That's compassion.com/familygoals. Be the difference this Christmas.
In today's episode of Family Goals, Pastor Jay and I will kind of talk to you about yesterday's man, today's man, and tomorrow's man, and kind of ways to maybe think about how we can walk in God's anointing and what He has for us in our lives to go down the road to be successful and to find our true calling.
God has a unique and special calling on everyone's life. Welcome to another episode of the Family Goals Podcast with Davey Pollock and Pastor Jay. Before I get into the content today, I just want to remind you that you have committed to take me to the Masters golf tournament on April 10 through 13, sometime in that time frame.
How many times are you going to say this? Like, you just keep...
I just want to keep it out
there.
Are
you going to say it every week on the podcast so everybody gets to listen?
I think so.
Are you speaking it into existence? Is that what you're trying to do?
Just want to make sure we're clear.
Speaking of the golf game, by the way. I put up a score that should make you pretty nervous.
What did you shoot?
I've never done this in my life ever, and I realize it's luck, by the way, and I know it's not sustainable, but I shot 2 under the other day. I've never even shot par. Like,
you shot a 70?
No, remember, I played 9.
Oh, 9 holes.
But
yes.
Like,
so 34.
Yeah, I had a bogey and 3 birdies, and then the rest pars.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, and then you were giving me a hard time because last time I told you I shot a 35, and you were like railing me about it.
Yeah, well, you had like 4 birdies and
3 bogeys.
5 bogeys, and yeah, I had 3 birdies and 1 bogey. Like, I mean, that's like you just had a lot more turmoil in yours. You're just a lot more up and down. Mine was pretty consistent. You know what I figured out?
That's awesome.
It was really boring. It was a boring round.
Boring golf is the best golf.
Yes, but I'm just so used to like lurking in trees. Like, what can I hit here underneath this? So it was the.
Are you still playing with the stolen 3-wood?
Yeah.
have you not paid for that yet?
No, but I did tell them I have it, so they know.
Well,
I have it.
Well, we need to, like, you know.
Well, I'm deciding whether I want to keep it because I'm figuring, like, I hit that thing really good, and that's why I'm playing well. And as soon as I buy it, I know it's going to suck. As soon as I buy it, it's going to be like, this thing sucks. This thing's trash. So I'm trying to wait as long as possible to make a decision. But anyways, all right, enough of the golf talk. I'm sure people are bored already.
So I want to talk today about God's anointing on your life.
Okay.
And God has gifted and called you to do something that is unique and special. God has called you and gifted you to do something that nobody else in the world can do. And so we all have a different anointing. We all have a different calling. You do, I do, everyone who's listening to this podcast. But I was thinking, but God has a unique anointing
purpose. Plan.
On your life.
Yeah.
And when you use your anointing, when you're working in your anointing, you're going to see fruit, you're going to see success, you're going to see prosperity, you're going to see favor, you're going to see blessing.
So is that how you know you're in your purpose? Is when you're seeing that stuff?
I think so. When you're seeing the results. So when you're working in your anointing, something that comes very natural to you, other people see as supernatural. Like, to you, it's easy because you're doing what God has gifted and called you to do, where somebody else, like, they look at that like, well, that's a supernatural thing. That's a God-given. I'm not great with technology. Part of it is because I'm old. But like Jolin, part of his anointing is he could shoot a video and edit it in 5 minutes. Like it just comes natural to him. He's working in his
calling.
Anointing, in his calling, in his gifting.
So I think one of the things that goes into that is, so how do you know it's your calling? You see fruit. So we talked about that. I think also when you know something that God's called you to do, I think you feel joy. Like, I don't think it's something that you're just checking a box. I don't think it's something that you show up and you're getting through. Like, I think God has a unique plan for you and is giving you unique gifts. And I think you got to learn what those are, but I don't think those things are going to be like, oh my gosh, this stinks. Like, it's going to be, oh, this is cool. This is awesome. Like, I like this. I'm good at this. Like, God's given me the ability to do this. And so I think that's one way. Another way too, to know, is like, it shouldn't be pulling hair. It shouldn't be overly difficult. It shouldn't be something you show up to when you're miserable all the time.
Yeah, we talk about this a lot in the church world, that we don't want anybody serving in student ministry or serving in children's ministry who doesn't want to be there, because we want it to be fun for the
kids. Like,
it
kids? Should
be
fun. No, I don't. Okay, well, here, you watch the 12-year-olds. Like, you,
it's just like you don't put the unhappy people who never smile. You don't put them at the front greeters. Door. Yeah, the front door. Greeting
people.
Welcome
on in the Greystone. You suck. Welcome on in. Yeah, you definitely need to have a little bit of a personality. It's the face of your church.
Yeah. And so when I like this word anointing, because you don't hear it used often. You hear people talk about gifts, talent, calling, favor, but anointing, it's when the Holy Spirit's working through you. It's like, I don't know if you've ever been in a speaking engagement to where
you could feel it.
You, like, all of a sudden, like, it's not you talking, but it's God speaking through you. God, like, the anointing of God is on your life.
The favor. Yeah.
The favor of God.
Yeah, 100%.
What do you think you're super gifted at? What do you think your anointing or your calling?
I think, you know, it's funny because I have a lot of things right now that I'm doing in a lot of, like, realms that I'm in. Mm-hmm. But I think, like, with the speaking, with the football stuff, with coaching, it all comes down to, like, people for me. I think that's, like, I feel it. I feel my happiest, and I feel a good connection with God, like, when I'm around people. Like, I'm a good communicator. I think it's something that it's natural for me, and I enjoy it. Like, there's a lot of people where that sucks the life out of them, and they don't, like, my wife is not she's more of an introvert. So if she's around social settings all the time, like, it kind of zaps her and it kind of exhausts her. Like, it ignites me. Mm-hmm. Like, when I'm around people, I could be dead tired and exhausted, and I'm jacked up now. Like, I'm all of a sudden, I have plenty of energy. So that would be, I think that would be.
You think coaching is one of your callings? You think you're anointed to coach?
I mean, I think it just to deal with people, like, to be around people. I get to coach. I get to, you know, when you're speaking, you get to kind of coach and influence and inspire. And so I definitely think that's part of it. What about you? What are you called to do? It's definitely not pastor of church, but.
Plant churches. I mean, I'm a church planter, pastor, disciple. I love discipling people.
Yeah, I think that's one that comes to mind for you right away.
More the small group, one-on-one, life on life.
Because people don't know this, but you've been an introvert your whole life, and you don't love public speaking.
Yeah,
it's never been something you've enjoyed.
I'm naturally a shy person. And I do think God's gifted me to preach, and it's something I've struggled with over the years, that to embrace that calling. And one of the prayers I pray every Sunday morning is 2 Timothy 1:6, fan into flame the gift of God in you, that God's gifted me to this, he's called me to, like, but I need his anointing to take over. I need him to. So I read a book by R.T. Kendall called The Anointing, and he talks about three different types of people. This is what I want to get into today. Okay. He talks about yesterday's man, today's man, and tomorrow's man. And the encouragement is not to be yesterday's man, but to be today's man. And the example that he uses in the book is Saul, Samuel, and David. So King Saul is an example of yesterday's man, Samuel is today's man, and David is tomorrow's man. And so King Saul had God's anointing, but he lost God's anointing. He became yesterday's man. So I wanted to read a Bible verse. Hope it doesn't take too much time on the podcast here.
Why, are you a slow reader or something?
Huh?
Why, are you a slow reader?
I'm not a slow reader.
Okay. He's got the...
It's a lengthy verse, but I think...
I could tell something was coming lengthy something.
It describes the situation here.
Okay.
So as I read this passage, I want to think about King Saul is yesterday's man, Samuel is today's man, and David as tomorrow's man. So this is 1 Samuel chapter 16. Now the Lord said to Samuel, you have mourned long enough for Saul. I have rejected him as king of Israel. So fill your flask with olive oil and go to Bethlehem. Find a man named Jesse who lives there, for I have selected one of his sons to be my king. But Samuel asked, how can I do that? If Saul hears about it, he'll kill me. Take a heifer with you, the Lord replied, and say that you have come to make a sacrifice to the Lord. Invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you which of his sons to anoint for me. So Samuel did as the Lord instructed. When he arrived in Bethlehem, the elders of the town came trembling to meet him. What's wrong? They asked. Do you come in peace? Yes, Samuel replied. I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Purify yourselves and come to me to the sacrifice. Then Samuel performed the purification rite for Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice too. And when they arrived, Samuel took a look at Eliab and thought, surely this is the Lord's anointed. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not judge by his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord doesn't see things the way you see them. People judge by outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. And then Jesse told his son Abinadab to step forward and walk in front of Samuel. But Samuel said, this is not the one the Lord has chosen. Next, Jesse's son Shimaiah. I didn't say that right.
Shimaiah. Remember, just say it really fast and nobody knows the difference.
Shimaiah.
There you go.
But Samuel said, neither is this the one the Lord has chosen. In the same way, all seven of Jesse's sons were presented to Samuel. But Samuel said to Jesse, the Lord has not chosen any of these. And then Samuel asked, are these all the sons you have? There is still the youngest, Jesse replied, but he's out in the field keeping watch, out in the fields washing the sheep and goats. Send for him at once, Samuel said. We will sit down and eat until he arrives. So Jesse sent for him. He was dark and handsome with beautiful eyes. And the Lord said, this is the one, anoint him. And so as David stood there among his brothers, Samuel took the flask of olive oil he had brought and anointed David with the oil. And the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David from that day on. And then Samuel returned to Ramah. And then here's verse 14. This is a little bit of a theological juggernaut. Now the Spirit of the Lord had left Saul, and the Lord sent a tormenting spirit that filled him with depression and fear. A little bit of a challenge there, verse 14, about King Saul. And so the Spirit had left King Saul, and he is an example of yesterday's man. So why did King Saul lose God's anointing on his life? You want me to tell you? I'm gonna tell you the answer.
Yeah, that'd be great because I'm still processing.
Yeah, so we have to go back to 1 Samuel chapter 13. So King Saul offers this burnt offering to God, and he was commanded not to do it. He was supposed to wait for Samuel, the priest, to show up. Samuel was running a little late, and so the king got impatient. He offered the sacrifice himself, and so the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul. And so, of course, I relate things to ministry, but I think we can relate it to any type of anointing or calling or gifting in a Christian's life. But we see this in ministry. We see someone who is called by God and used by God, but because of his sin, because of his disobedience, if he never truly repents, he becomes yesterday's man. And so I thought we would talk about that a little bit.
Well, I mean, obviously, there's going to be moments where I guess we can be all of these then, right? I mean, not just because I would argue we're going to point to David and some of his mistakes and say he's not tomorrow's man either, right?
So right.
I think we're all absolutely in that process. But it's interesting. It makes me think of actually I had a group that we went to Idaho and we talked about like the stages of life. And like some of us are at a state, everybody's at different stages, but sometimes you're at the stage where like you're the warrior and you got the sword, like, and you're fighting and you got to be the fighter, but you're also going to get to the stage where you have to be willing to put that thing down. And it's no longer your fight, but you're the mentor, you're the coach. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So like, and those are not easy things to do. Like, it's not easy to transition from one to the next, but we're all transitioning in and out of stages in our walk, in and out of stages in our lives. When you add family members and add babies, add grandbabies, like wherever it is, you continue to be in a different stage where God's going to use you differently. And it's not going to look the same. You're not going to be that young boy that God pines and says, I'm going to build my kingdom around you. Mm-hmm. You might be the old guy that you're looking for the young guy, or the young guy's right there behind you and he's coming in to fill that spot. So I think it can be a challenge for us.
Yeah, I think one of the things I think about is not becoming yesterday's man. And one of the things I was thinking about is not living off of past successes.
Yeah.
Like Saul was the man in the past, but he was living off of the past success. And I think you think about God may bless your church, or he may bless your ministry, or he may bless your family or your life, but you can't just live off of past successes. You need a fresh anointing every week. Like for me,
pick up your cross daily.
Yeah, like I can't just, you know, I've been preaching now for 30 years. I can't just pull a sermon out that I did 10 years ago and redo it.
Wow, we wouldn't know.
Like, you may not know, but I need to have a fresh anointing. Like, yeah. I can't just like do what I've always done. I've got to do something fresh. What is God doing now?
And I don't, well, and that's the biggest point. What is God doing now in your life? Because you can't, like that 10 years ago place that you'd be speaking from, Jonathan, it's not authentic anymore because you're not there anymore.
Right.
Like, you're not in that stage of life. You're not walking through that trial that you were talking about. Like, you might have succeeded from it. You might be something you don't have to repent about anymore. But there's a new one, I guarantee you, right?
And
tomorrow's man's going to have trials and tribulations too. They might not look the same. And hopefully, the process of sanctification is hopefully we are putting these things aside. Hopefully, you can look back 10 years ago and go, yeah, I'm a different man. Like, I'm better at X, Y, and Z. Now, you might be more focused on, you know, the next three things up that are on the list. You might go back to A, B, and C, you know, but it's definitely always the process of continuing to move forward and grow.
Yeah, and I think that's growing as a Christian. Like, I could preach, like I do preach on the same passages of Scripture, but you may study the same passages of Scripture in your quiet time or hear it in a message, but it hits you different in this season of life because God's doing something different in your life. You're in a different season. You're in a different stage. And that's what I mean by keep that fresh anointing. And so Samuel represented today's man. God would speak to him, and he would go carry out those orders. He was fulfilling God's calling on his life. But this is the really interesting thing is David represents tomorrow's man. David had received the blessing, right? He had received the anointing, right? Like Samuel came and anointed him. He's still a shepherd boy.
Yeah.
But he wasn't ready yet to be king.
He had to wait.
Like, God still had to do a work in his life. He had to go through some trials and some tribulations for God to prepare him for the anointing on his life. And of course, we know the story of David. You know, he kills the lion, he kills the bear, and then he kills the giant. You know, he kills Goliath. And but he had God's anointing on his life. So you think about the story of him walking into the valley of Elah to face Goliath the giant. He had this tremendous calling because God had anointing him as king. He knew he was going to be the next king. He just didn't know when. And a lot of the trials and tribulations that David goes through were at the hands of Saul, because Saul was jealous of him. Saul wanted to kill him. I mean, David was living in caves. He was running for his life. And so I think about our own lives, like the anointing that God has on our lives. In order to get us to where he wants us to go, we have to go through some trials and tribulations. And I think about your story. I mean, that's why I was asking about your anointing at the beginning, because if I would have asked you that question 20 years ago,
different answer,
you would have said professional football player. Mm-hmm. Like, God has anointed me.
I was made to do that.
I'm made to be a professional athlete. And then God, you know, and you were.
Yeah.
I mean, that you did fulfill that anointing, but you're not still, you didn't stay there. You went through the trials and tribulations, and even now,
and then more.
You're going through trials, and you're still like, what is God leading me to do? Yeah. What is He calling me to do? And I think all of our listeners, everybody watching, God has anointing on your life. He has something He's uniquely gifted you to do. But in order to get to where He wants you to get, you have to go through some trials and tribulations, and some hard times.
Can't take the elevator to the penthouse. Gotta take the stairs, bro.
Gotta take the stairs.
Gotta take the stairs. I mean, you gotta sweat.
Why can't you take the elevator to the penthouse?
You can't take the elevator to the penthouse. You gotta take the stairs, man. And you gotta grow. You gotta learn. Because I mean, here's one thing that I've learned the most about my life. When I go through those things, and when I go through those things with other people, I have the authority now to speak about it and to help people get through it. But until I go through it, I don't really have the authority to speak about it. I don't know. Like, I don't know what I don't know. I read things in the Bible all the time, and it doesn't hit me. It doesn't strike me. And then 5 years later, like you talked about, I might read it and be like, golly, that's good. How come I never read that before? I have.
Yeah.
But that's not where I was at, and I wasn't ready to receive that. And so you're not going to be ready to receive all things right now. But I think all these guys had something in common, too. Most of them were pursuing, were chasing. Now, that doesn't mean they didn't have pitfalls along the way, because all of them obviously did. But that process takes you taking a step forward and taking a step forward. And how do you put God's word in your heart? You can't put it in your heart if you ain't reading it. And it's going to be a lot harder for him to speak to you if you're not reading his word, because that's the easiest way he's going to speak to you is when you're reading that word and it's going to hit you and you're going to go, oh man, like that. Okay. Let me think about that for a second. And I also think you can get that. You can get to do listening to sermons. Like there's a lot of Sundays where I'm listening to you and I'm like, oh, that is dope. I never thought about that. Perfect example of that was the 99. Like, I've already used this with like three other people now that I stole from you. I actually took this from you. See, look at this. I'm giving you credit. But you said, you asked the question, okay, well, why does he leave the 99 for the one? Like, and I think there's always been a context in my head of why he left the 99. You always hear the story and you hear this, you sing the song, but you talked about it. It's because the one was in danger. The 99 had each other. Like they had each other. They're not really in danger. They were sticking together. They could protect themselves. God went after the one that was in the most danger so we could rescue him now and help you now. Like, see, I listen.
And that was, I really feel like that was God giving me an anointing of that, of looking at it from that perspective.
That was a dope perspective.
Because I'd never heard that before.
I never heard it either.
Like I said, I've preached on this before, but it just is kind of like I love when I have new revelation, fresh revelation, and then when you're preaching it, you've got this new sense of energy and
zeal, excitement, passion, and a new conviction to go live it. Like I think it kindles that spark in you to go live it, and I love when I can go when I have those moments and I go, I want to share it. You know, like I quoted that to one of my buddies who's one of the most biblical people I know and like knows the word of God inside and out, and we were talking about something and going through a hard time and struggle and this and that. And I literally asked him, I was like, well, why did God leave the 99 for the one? And he was like, you know, and gave me the answer that we all go through. And I was like, no, that's because the one was in danger, you know? And so I think that's it's cool to see it. It's cool to feel it. And when you do feel it, lean into it, like feel it, lean into it, embrace it. And I guarantee it starts that passion, and then you start to live it, and then when you start to live it, I think you start to share it. Like it's in here, man. It's coming out, right? Like whatever is in here is going to come out with my excitement. That's why it's
and everyone has that one in their life. Everyone has that, you know. And I said, who's your one?
Like that's in danger.
Who's your one that's in danger? And it's not someone that's lost. You can't lose your salvation. But they've wandered from the fold. They've gotten out of fellowship. They've gotten away from the church. And when I say who is your one, and we had the golf balls to write someone's initial on the golf ball. I'm pretty sure
you gave all of us crappy golf balls.
Everybody.
I was waiting for my Pro V. I was looking underneath all the chairs. So he put the golf balls underneath the chairs so you can put the name on there of the person that
I'm
is the one.
My Pro V one.
I was literally walking up and down the aisles like, no, this one stinks. Nitro? What the heck is that? Like I just kept walking by. I was like, The only thing I saw.
The Nitro is a Jamie Barwick ball.
Yeah, the Callaway
was the only
thing. I know
we're not supposed to mention names in here. You like Callaway?
No.
Yeah.
I've never seen the difference in a golf ball, but
we're getting
way off
course.
Sorry. Yeah. I just thought it was cheap of you not to give out good golf balls.
So I like this idea of tomorrow's man, and I look at our kids. I think of my son. I think of your son. God's anointing is on his life, right? But he's not there yet. Like God's gonna do a big work in his life, and he already is. but God's anointings on his life, and I can't wait to see it all unfold. But also, I think about some of these men in our church who their lives have completely changed at my age. Now they're in their 50s. Well, they're tomorrow's man. Like God still has a big plan on their life, even though maybe the first half of their life they weren't pursuing Christ, but they could still be tomorrow's man.
Yep.
So the
and it will look different,
and that's okay.
It's going to look different, and that's absolutely okay.
And I was telling one of our buddies, the greatest impact you're going to have for Christ is through your kids. Like you're going to disciple your kids and raise your kids, and they are going to end up. That's where your greatest impact is going to come. Is through your kids.
Well, and legacy is not what you leave somebody, remember, it's what you leave in them. So what you leave.
Right. Say that again.
Legacy is not what you leave your kids; it's what you leave in them. And I think us leaving it in them from generation to the next generation to the next generation, I mean, that's pretty dang cool. Mm-hmm. Like the way you live your life affects your grandchildren, your great grandchildren. You might not see it, but it's absolutely going to. The way you disciple your kids, the way you talk to your kids, like it's 100% going to be passed down and used in the future.
I think from a practical application standpoint, how does someone develop that anointing in their life? Let's just say someone's listening to the podcast. They're tomorrow's man. God's calls on their life. They have an anointing, but how do they fulfill that calling? How do they get from the penthouse? Yeah, I mean, how do you, to use your lingo? Like how do they get from?
Take the stairs.
Yeah. So what are the stairs? Like what are the steps along the way?
I mean, I think those are things that are going to be slowly revealed through time, through experience. But those are things that, like, when we're in God's word, he will continue to reveal things to us. Mm-hmm. When that's a part of our life, it's 100%. When you walk in favor, like, God's going to bless you. Mm-hmm. He's going to continue to bless your life. So when you have those visions and those things that I want to do, and I see this and I can get to that, well, today is my steps that I take to get there. And what are the steps I can take today? How can I win where I'm at today? How can I serve today? How can I start to develop and cultivate relationships and things that, I mean, I got to be pursuing God. Like I got to be chasing God, and I got to be in his word, and I got to be in fellowship with other people. I got to be in church. Like I got to continue to refresh that anointing daily, right? Pick up my cross daily. And then take those steps that I feel like I'm led to take. And it's going to take time and work, and it's not always the easy stuff. And I think you sit down and you go, I want it now. Like, that's what I want. Why don't I have it yet? Well, there's also got to be some things that I learn along the way. So I actually really do appreciate it and see exactly what it stands for and what it means to me.
I love what you said there. Get in the word, because God's the one who, it's his revelation. But you talked about fellowship and accountability. And I think those two go hand in hand, because if you have the right fellowship, you're going to get in the word, because you got to put yourself around people who are going to foster that anointing in your life. They're going to push you towards the things of God. They're going to push you to be the best version of yourself.
Yeah. And you are the best version of yourself around them. Like you know it, you feel it. Like there's some people you're around that you're like, man, like I got this joy and I feel it my best. You know what I'm saying? Like there's those people you're going to be around. You're like, okay, that's what I need to lean into. Like those are the people that I continue to surround myself with. It's not the ones that are making different choices. It's not the ones where I'm not the best version of me and I slip and I say stupid things and I curse and just find my way in the wrong, the not good version of me. Mm. I want to find those people that help me become the best version of me. That's how you can feel it, I think.
I think what you said early on is joy. When you're in your anointing, it's going to be fun. Mm-hmm. Like it's like life's going to be fun. You're going to feel a sense of accomplishment, significance, satisfaction. Like God's using me. Like I'm impacting other people. I'm pouring into other people. Like you're seeing the results of your labor.
So find that joy, find that spot, plug in, and day by day, And then hopefully you're going to look up and you're going to become tomorrow's man.